Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Here's what I want to share with you. It has been a wonderful journey the last 4 weeks. When Pastor Jay got the word that he felt like we were supposed to really focus on abiding over this month in October. And, you know, being that this month in the Christian calendar, if you'd look at it that way, is Pastor Appreciation Month. And, you know, I'm so grateful for Pastor Jay and for the vision of the house, and even just for the time that I know, you know, when you get a word like that and you see it begin to happen, wow. Because that word, I don't know about you, but that word has meant a lot to me over when we look and see what we've been learning over this last month and every sermon. I just want to share this just before I begin. If I looks like I have enough time today to do this. But last week when Pastor Claude was preaching, and even then the weeks previous, I kept seeing God doing foundational things. So if you haven't heard these sermons over the last 3 weeks previous to this, I encourage you to get them. You can just go online and download them or listen to them even online on the podcast. And they are foundational works. And what I saw, though, last week, I'd never seen before. I kind of like it. I kind of like when I see things I've never seen before. Because, boy, it seems like there's not a lot out there that's brand new, right, at different times. But I saw somebody preach to one person last week. That was the craziest thing I'd seen. And you're like, oh, what did would I miss? Was I not here? He kept saying, even in the beginning of his sermon, that he was preaching to Sarah. And I could see him, and I'm watching him, and the Lord's telling me, watch, watch. And Pastor Claude would go, and he was basically preaching to Sarah. And I could see him trying to include all of you. And it was as like as he wandered over here just to include you, there was just, nope, get back into the position and share with Sarah. You see, even though that was a word for Sarah, and we know that we are mature enough to grab that as a word for us as well, because we are the treasures of God. Amen? Come on, amen? That was such a good word last week. But even more so, it was a great demonstration last week. The demonstration of the obedience of God and what it means to walk in obedience. That when the Lord gives you an instruction and you saw him, because I tell you, it's not normal, okay? And Pastor Claude and I were talking about it afterwards. It's not normal to preach to one person. I mean, it's like, let's just move all the... Now, sometimes it's great when Holy Spirit does that, right? That you feel like you're sitting there and he's just talking to me. But I've never seen anybody do that. But it was an act of obedience. And in this season right now, if we ever need anything, it is obedience. And obedience unto the Lord. And obedience is something that will bring us such great reward. And I don't mean the fact that I do it for that purpose. Because if I only obey for the purpose of reward, then my heart is a little off. But that when I obey, with my heart, when I sit there and say, you know, even growing up, I guess I've realized something after a while. You realize things about yourself. And this may be surprising to some of you. My college years didn't always produce this, but I'm a rule keeper. It is what I love to do, okay, in there. And you say, well, okay, we're supposed to be in grace and walking. It's not what I'm talking about, okay? If somebody asks me to do something, guess what? I'm going to do it. And that is something that for me is something that I walk in my life, because I believe personally that honor is connected with obedience. Come on now. You're all looking at me like I got seven heads. How many like it when your kids obey you? Okay. When you say clean up your room and then they clean up your room. It's a fantastic. I know some of you are like, can somebody tell me how to accomplish that? Okay. You know, but obedience is something that is key in the midst of this. And for me, I know that I was watching the demonstration of a man of God who was being obedient unto the Lord. And so, Sarah, we encourage you again, and that you are the treasure of God, and that he loves you so, so very much. But I want to share with you this morning here about really, again, in our, I don't know if Pastor Jay will continue this after, but again, along the lines of abiding. I want you to turn in Exodus chapter 33. It's probably one of my favorite passages of scripture. And you probably already know it, and you may have to fight some familiarity as we go through it, okay, in there. But it is one of my favorite passages again, and I seem to have a lot of those favorite passages. But I believe that this is not just a book that should occasionally come off my chest. Sorry, that kind of sounded really strange. Let's just back the tape up. Should occasionally come off, wow, okay. Should occasionally come off the shelf is what I was trying to say. I guess there's my joke right there. The reason it's funny how the things like that work, because I used for a season there, after I read, I used to put this on my chest. I don't know if many of you know, most of you would know, but that I had a season where that I was hardly able to breathe. I couldn't even walk across the platform or the parking lot there. And in that season, there were a massive amount of blood clots, not just one or two, but there were quite a few blood clots in my lungs. And I was having such a hard time breathing, and it doesn't help that in those moments when, in those situations, it brings with us sometimes a sense of fear, and you may like, come on now, you're a man of God, overcome. Yes, we all overcome, but that doesn't mean that because we are walking with the Lord that fear never comes on us. Come on now, that was a good word. It doesn't mean because fear has come on you that you failed. You got to hear that again. Because fear has come on you, it doesn't mean you failed. It's what we do afterwards in those moments. And I tell you, but you have, until you experience, it's like the learning process. Until you walk in somebody else's shoes, you really shouldn't talk about it a whole lot. You shouldn't have a lot of advice for someone that you've never walked in their shoes on that particular subject. It doesn't mean that you can't give biblical advice. Do you understand my heart in this? But in those moments when I had an experience where I actually blacked out. And in that blacking out, and I literally could feel myself stop breathing, and then I blacked out. And the terror and the fear that came along with that was overwhelming. And in that season, as I began to pray and I began to believe, and as I began to take medicine and I did all of these things and believing, I would take the Bible, the Word of God, and I would read it and bring it into my heart, but I'd literally lay it on my chest physically. Now, if all I ever did was grab it and lay it on my chest, you understand that that's not going to do much. It's a physical thing. But it was a prophetic sign to me that I am hiding the Word of God in my lungs. And you might say, no, it's supposed to be hidden in your heart. Yes, we understand that. But my lungs needed the application of the Word of God. Amen? See, this is the thing in my heart and in my spirit right now is a recognition that in this season, I want us to. You want to go on a journey with me? Do you want to go on a journey with me? I want to fall so in love with Jesus and His words. I want it to be that, see, because I know what it's like. Have you ever known you're supposed to do something and yet you don't do it? You know, what happens is what keeps me sometimes from the very thing I need is when I don't feel worthy to approach. When I feel like, oh, I haven't read this thing in 3 days. Oh, you know, and then you go to read it and you gotta, okay, maybe you're not like this. Okay, I gotta wade through all the guilt and the shame to get to the Word. And yet God's not standing there with a hammer going, come on, boy, just come a little closer. That's not what He's doing. He's saying, come on, eat, Rod. In this season, you need to digest. You need to have the Word. Because, you see, I do believe in reading a good book. I believe in listening to sermons. I believe in all those things. But nothing will help me like the applied Word of God. Amen. Nothing. You see, because what you say and what you teach is good. But what I've learned on my own, now hear me now, that's not the saying that I'm not going to listen to you. What it is in those moments where God has spoken to me, when those moments where He showed up, like I talked about, showed up as a child in my room. You know, I've never been the same since those times. To sit there, and you've heard my stories about my captain's bed and about Jesus literally walking in the room and sitting on the end of my bed with me and beginning to talk with me. And I would go and read the Bible later and find out that somebody else had that experience too. That Paul had those experiences and someone else had this experience. And so many things would begin to happen. I would have dreams that I didn't understand, visions that I didn't understand. I would see in the Spirit and I didn't have a clue what was going on. I had dreams about my grandfather and different things. And my mom helped me walk through those things. And my dad helped me walk the best they could at those moments. But in that moment, it wasn't just the visions, it wasn't just the miracles, it wasn't just these things. It was, God, I need a hunger for your word, because your words will sustain me. Now listen in my heart. I don't want miracles to run out, but your word will sustain me when there is no miracle. Come on now. When I didn't receive what my heart had hoped for, it is your word that will sustain me. It will walk me through. It was your word that will pick me up in the middle of a storm and begin to show me where to place my feet. It is your word. And you see, you might be sitting here today and going, Pastor Rod, what is this talk? What are you talking about here? That we're talking about abiding. See, I abide in the word of God. And it's not even, this isn't even in my sermon yet. So Holy Spirit, help me, okay, in this. But it's so, I don't just read to check off a box. Do you hear me? I don't just do the commandment. I want the connection. If you're new to the Lord, if you're even watching us here today, you might sit there and go, yeah, but Pastor Rob, when I pick up this, it's just a bunch of black words on a white page and I get so lost. I would say to you this. Start in a place. Start in the Psalms. Even as Pastor Claude told us, be reading a one proverb a day. Spend time in the Proverbs and then go to John. Man, you want to read John the Beloved? Why do they call him that? Because he wanted to be so close to Jesus. He wanted to be so close. It's even awkward sometimes in our language today of the way he describes of Jesus being so close to him. But you see, that is what we need. Those are the moments that we need. And will you go on that journey with me? If you've said, well, Pastor Rod, I struggle. Come on now, we all struggle at different times, right? When you are expecting A and you get Q, and you didn't even know Q was on the possibility range, it causes you sometimes to walk away from what you know you need. Can I encourage you just to pick it up? Not to do it as a daily thing that you have to. You know, there's something that I've learned, and it's not something that anyone taught me, and maybe somebody did, but I don't remember who taught me. But I'm sure there's nothing new under the sun, so someone must have taught me this. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, I can't point to you where it came from. But they taught me, don't be in a hurry when you read. Don't be in a hurry when you read your Bible. If you get to the third word, and boom, in your spirit it ignites, and you start having conversation with God over that third word that you found in there, you are eating the word of God. You are digesting the word of God. And there are times and seasons right now where I started in Genesis, and I've decided this year that I'm going to go through the lives of the patriarchs and the lives of those that I see in the Bible. And so I'm going through Abraham and I'm digesting everything I can on Abraham. And I'm going through Moses and just eating up everything I can of Moses. And I want to learn about Moses. I want to learn because I believe that even in the Old Testament, that it is a sign for us of what is to now, like in the New Covenant, then we can learn. We don't just throw away. And when I began, you know, it's a crazy thing to read. Read even the Moses and the 12 plagues that are there. And that he's saying to Pharaoh, he's saying, let my children go, let my people go. And Pharaoh goes and says, okay, fine, you know, well, maybe. And then all of a sudden he changes his mind different times. And if you read that, you know, it was so cool this last week to sit there and read that chapter and for Jesus to say to me, you see me? I'm like, what? I seen Moses. I seen Pharaoh. I seen Father. Where did I see you? He goes, I was in every opportunity that Pharaoh had to turn his heart before the great loss of his son. I was the grace that was being offered to Pharaoh to turn his heart. And we know, we see, and I would say, well, it says that God hardened his heart. Is it possible that the things that were placed before him, that God had placed before him, we don't understand the sovereignty of God many different times, but I'm not going to decide how to figure out God. Are you? I'm going to allow him to be him. In this season that we're in right now, we recognize that God is God and I'm not. And everybody's really happy about that. Because he is faithful. Now, if you want to just, okay, so that was a pre-sermon ramble. Okay, it's good, Lord. Moses, let's look at this, chapter 33, and here's what's happened so far in this. That we see that Moses has been given the Ten Commandments. He's come back down. He has seen that somehow a golden calf, poof, came out of the fire, apparently, okay, in there. And you know, if you know, you read the story, that's what was said happened. It didn't happen that way. He comes down and breaks the Ten Commandments when he's there. God calls him back up, and now he's on his way, and he's up there. So let's just go now and read in chapter 33, okay? It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here.'" It says, "You and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt to the land." Now, God is talking to Moses. You notice what he's saying. So those people that you brought out, I don't know where the people went that I was bringing out, but the people that you, no, he's just having this conversation with them, right? I think it's funny, sorry. "I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel,'" now this is important, "'before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusites," a whole lot of ites. "'Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people.' And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore, take off your ornaments,'" these are these, the gold and the different ornaments that they were wearing, "'that I may know that what to do with you.' And so the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb." So again, what has happened in this moment is that we see Moses is going back to intercede for the people. He's going to God to intercede for the people. He's done this a few times. If you just back up and read the chapters before that, he's done this a few times already. And he's going in again to intercede for the people. But God says to him this. He basically says, okay, here's what the thing, Moses. This is what's going to happen. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be faithful to what I told you, and I will give you the promise that I've said, but I'm not going to go with you. My angel will go with you. Now, it was already told him that an angel before that was going to go with him. But he says to you that I will, in other words, I will give you the promise. I will give you, in other words, we could say, I'll give you the power, but my presence won't go with you. If you read any commentary on this particular part over and over and over and over again, you hear that this being a test in this moment. Because what really, can you imagine? It's, in other words, saying that I will do everything I've said. I will help you. I will walk with you. I will go with you. I will be there with you. I will help you go into the land. I will take, and he says all of these things, but I won't go with you. See, in my life, I don't know about you, but I've seen an incredible amount of miracles. Put up your hand if you've seen a miracle. Okay, everybody put up your hand if you'd like to see a miracle. See, the idea in all of this, now again, I'm gonna ask you something here. If you, I think that I have seen, I don't know how many, but I've seen numerous miracles, and I've had numerous encounters with God. Moses has seen, let me just read you what Moses has seen so far in his life up to this point. He's heard the audible voice of God directly in Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 17. And in fact, in verse 17, he's had his name changed. Abraham, Moses in this moment, you know, there are so many different things that happen for him. But he's had the burning bush experience in Exodus chapter 3. He's seen the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He's heard those thunderings, the lightnings on the Mount Sinai, which are really just an understanding of the voice of God and almost like a theophany in that moment. But the rod that was in his hand, you remember the rod that was in his hand that he threw down, it turned into a snake, right? And he went and picked it back up again. There's miracles right there that God told him, take your hand and put it inside your coat and it turned to leprosy, pulled it back out. Whoa, what's going on? Put his hand back inside of his coat, pulls it back out and it's completely clean. Demonstrating again, see seeing the power of God in this moment, even at when he was there with Pharaoh, and that he threw the rod down and it turned into a snake while the other magicians did the same thing. But here's what happened in the end then, is that Moses's rod, which was the snake, ate the other ones, showing his power and authority over them. He's seen so many things. Can you imagine seeing the Red Sea part? How mind-boggling is that? See, we forget sometimes. That's why I say, read the word read the word with a child's view. Read the word with awe and wonder. To think this is what Moses has seen already. He's seen these powerful things begin to happen. And you see, what happens in this moment, if you then look and see verse 7, what happened? Just follow with me now. So Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked to Moses. So you see what's going on right now, right? That we see that basically the presence of God, that tangible presence of God has come down in this cloud, and the Lord is talking to Moses at this moment. And verse 10 says, and all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. And so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, and it says, this is important because we ask that question so often, why does it say face to face here, and then it says that you know man shall see your face? And what the next words after this explains this, where it says in here, and so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. So he's showing it that this is language to understand relationship. Can you imagine the relationship that Moses had with God? Just unbelievable. The relationship that he had with God. And so in this moment, and then I love this phrase, if you want to get to know the Lord, if you want to, even as Pastor Claude was talking about, the sense of being filled with his spirit, Joshua gives us a secret at the end of this verse. Now watch. It says, and Moses, in other words, would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Another version says, that he lingered in the tabernacle. This is the sense of lingering in the presence of God, of spending time in the presence of God. You see, at this moment, we're going to get into, and we're going to show you the key verse, and it's where Moses says to God, show me your glory. Now, just track with me for a few minutes here. He says, show me your glory. Before we get there, and we're about to just walk into this, I want you to see Moses' passion, see his hunger. And for me, what happens is abiding does this. Abiding is the gateway to the glory of God. If you're going to write something down, you might want to write that down. Abiding is the gateway to the glory of God. It is the hunger. When we think of abiding, we think of hunger, passion, but hunger for more of God. This is the gateway to walking into, beginning to experience the fullness, we might even be able to say, of God. You see, what happens is when you begin to abide, when you begin to spend time with God, Moses is going to get bold in a second. You see, he's already said, God, there's a part in this that I haven't been able to share just for lack of time. But God, he's saying to Moses, basically says to God, he says, listen, if you're not going to go up with us, we don't want to go. I'm not going to go unless your presence goes with us. I don't want to go in those moments. And he's basically saying to God, I don't want to go unless you're going to go with me. I don't want just the power, just the promises without your presence. This is the key that I want you to grab. One of the keys I want you to grab this morning is, I love miracles. I love signs and wonders, but I wouldn't take that deal. I don't want those things without his presence. But I know that with his presence, those things will be innumerable. See, there's this sense of hunger within me of saying, yes, Lord, I'm hungry to see miracles. Yes, Lord, I'm hungry to see signs and wonders. But Lord, I want you. I want you in your fullness. And there's this hunger that is in him, in Moses right now. And then there becomes this boldness, the kind of boldness that the disciples were talked about when one of them would say that we knew that they had been with Jesus. They could tell that they'd been with Jesus just by how they spoke to people and how bold they were and what their expectations were in this moment. So we're here, let's just go ahead and read it then. Then Moses said, verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, he says, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. He's still saying, he's basically trying to say, Lord, I still don't want to go without you. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. And then this verse, which is the one that I want you to really focus on. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In the abiding presence of God, there is rest. There is a rest that I've been asking the Lord. I was asking him, help me write this. Help me make these words make sense, Lord. And I never really got to the point where I felt really comfortable with this. But so let me just say it this way. I feel like I have so much more to learn about rest. And I believe that I'm going to learn it in the fullness of the presence of God. I believe that through his word, he will teach me. But then I will go practice the presence of God. The name has now gone out of my head of the man that wrote the book, Practicing the Presence of God. Yeah, it's gone right out of my head just like that. But I tell you, it's something that I've known that although it's not gone, it was never gone in my life. But have you ever gotten so busy? Come on now. Have you ever gotten so busy that you realize I did my devotions, I prayed. But Lord, I can feel you calling me. I can feel that intimate touch upon my shoulder. Do you know what I'm talking about? That sense of him calling me in and having that deeper sense. So here, let's just begin, continue to read here. It says, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people, notice how Moses is turning this around now the other way, your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us. So we shall be separate, your people and I, and from all the people who are on the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. So he's asked again. So God has relented. In other words, God has, you would say, you know, biblically, they don't really understand fully if did God change his mind or is he just basically, this is all just part of this test. But God has relented from saying, I won't go with you. And he's saying, yes, I now will go with you. So if you follow back through of all the other intercessions, okay, that he's done at this particular chapters in this time, that Moses continually is interceding, is continually pushing the envelope and saying, okay, God, thank you for that. But thank you for that, Lord. But, and he keeps moving closer and closer. And then in the midst of all this, remember, in the midst of the presence of God, right? He's in that tent of meeting. The cloud of the presence of God is there, right? In that moment. And in that moment, he asks, show me your glory. And I'm amazed at the boldness of Moses in that moment. But you see, when you spend time with God, you get bolder and bolder to ask for more and more and more. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. And I want to know you more. And I can imagine in that moment, can you just put yourself, stop, you know, I know you all know the end of the scripture because many of you have been, you've read this so many times, but just think of Moses in that moment. Lord, show me your glory. You wonder what I'm about to see, what I'm about to hear. Is this whole place going to shake so much like before? God, what's going to happen? You can just see his anticipation and his wonder because he's seen some amazing things. But in that moment, God says to him this. He says, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. In that moment, God is teaching him. It's not just about all the thunderings. It's not just about all these other things. If you want to know about me, I want to show you how good I am. It's mind-boggling to me. Maybe I'm not explaining it enough here today. The goodness of God is so amazing, so precious. And in that moment, he says this, look, "And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." That word there, the definition of Lord there, is the word, and it's going to show up a little bit later on as well, but it's the word Adonai. And it actually refers to, it means master. So the Lord is stepping in and he's showing us again a little piece of his character of who he is when he says that. "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion to whom I have compassion." Immediately when I read that, I think of John and the disciples and turning around and saying, "Hey, but how about that one over there, Lord? What are you going to do with him?" You know, Peter's like, "Okay, so God, this is going to happen to me. Well, what about John? Okay, what's John going to go through? What's going to happen to John in this?" And Jesus is like, "Don't you worry about John. You see, this is the sense I'm going to be gracious in those moments, that when we see somebody beginning to be, can I just say that I think one of the things that I have been tested in, I want to say learned, but if you've ever thought you learned something and then God decides, okay, let's see. Let's see if you really learned this. Not because I don't love you, but I just want to show you still have something to learn. And that when somebody else has a breakthrough that you've been asking for years, and they asked for 3.2 seconds, and boom, it came. That is your moment to rejoice with them, to unbelievably rejoice with them. Because in that moment, God has been gracious to them. And in that moment, God has been compassionate to them. And that he says here, "But he said, you cannot see my face. No one shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me." See, this is so amazing because he takes it from just being, there are people that think that God is just basically, maybe he just created everything and he said, he made systems and went, well, good luck, you know, and step back. There are a lot of people who believe that, but I don't. I believe that this, again, is a sign of an intimate God saying, "Sean, there is a place for you by me." Saying, "Megan, there is a place for you by me. Daniel, there is a place for you by me." And he says all of our names in those moments, that in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of everything, I want to show you. See, that's the message in there. I want to show you my glory. I want to show you my goodness. I, as far as God is saying, I have a hunger to show you my goodness. I have a place for you. And when I think about it, you know, when we talk about this, we see that it is the cleft of the rock, they call it, right? It is actually, another translation says it's a crack in the rock. And so, you know, I have to watch my imagination sometimes, because being a creative person, my imagination just goes, and we go on this journey. So I'm seeing God there with Moses and going, okay, so Moses, you can't see my face because I don't want you to die, okay, in this, but I'm going to show you. So I'm going to put you in this crack. That'll fit him. Okay, good. And he puts him in, it's just my imagination, right? Running wild in those moments. But when I think of a crack, two things come to mind. I see that this is in Christ. This is what really the foreshadowing. This is what we should be seeing. That at this moment, he is, in order to experience God in the fullness of what he's asking, to show him his glory, to show him his goodness, and all the other things that I'm going to show you in a minute, you have got to be in Christ. You've got to, and it says there that he stood him on the rock. We have got to be in Christ. And when we think about that, I think of when Jesus died on the cross and the soldier took the spear and he basically cut a wound in his side, and it says, and blood and water flowed, showing his humanity. That crack that showed that he has died. You see, it wasn't that in that moment in the death of Jesus that everything we'd ever long for will come. That connection with him. And when I think about it, the other thing that comes to mind when I think of the crack or I think of the cleft or being put in the cleft of the rock is at that moment when he died, what happened to the veil? What happened? It was torn. It was cracked. It was torn not from the bottom, so that a bunch of disciples said, ready? Okay, and they just began to rip. And if you knew how thick this thing was, you know it wouldn't even be possible to do that. But it was ripped from the top right down to the bottom. An impossibility happened that day. And in that moment, again, he was saying, there's a place by me. Come on. God is saying, look, 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 my son is done. Come here, come here, come here, come here, kids. Come here, come here. There's a place by me. Come, stand by me. And that was that invitation. And this is the invitation that he got at that Moses got at that moment. And so we see as well here, and I'm just going to wrap it up today. We see here as well, we see that what God says, not only that my goodness will pass before you, but it says this. It says, my merciful and gracious, I'm long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. I don't have time to go into that, but what a beautiful phrase. Forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. Not clearing the guilty. And what he means by that is I'm not just going to wipe it underneath, like in other words, swipe it underneath the carpet. That there's still a cost for sin. But he's made the payment available. When I see then Moses' reaction in this, verse 30, or chapter 34, and the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets, and he comes back up again. And if we go down, all the way down, and we follow it, and we get all the way down to verse 11, verse 10. Let's go to verse 10. And he said to him, behold, I make a covenant before all your people, and I will do marvels such as you have not, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among you, whom you shall see the working of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. You see, verse 39, though we're just going to, just for a second, I'll close with this. If we jump just back up one verse, up to verse 9, and this is what it says. And then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, what is his word? Go among us. God, we're hungry for your presence. And it says here then, even though we are stiff-necked people. Now I'm going to ask a question that I probably shouldn't ask. Any stiff-necked people here? Hey, I know I can be. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and I love this, and take us as your inheritance. Stand with me this morning. I have a whole second part to this sermon that one day we'll go through and I'll show you at the end and I'll just sort of bring us to that point and maybe and then over the next month or so, maybe I can finish this. But it's important what he says. He says that when God comes and he has this experience with God in this moment and his goodness passes before him. And as I read there at the end, he does give a command though. And that command is to have nothing to do with all these ites that he goes through. And when you really look at it, it is shocking when you look at what these Hivites, what the Jebusites, and what these were known for. Pastor Jeff preached a sermon here a long, long time ago about those ites. And I've read so many more things on that. But I tell you, it's a word for today because it's still something for us to stay away from. But in this moment, God is not the one to stay away from. Can you close your eyes with me just for a second? And hear him saying to you, no matter what you feel right now, no matter what's going on right now, I have a place for you beside me. Can you see him? See the Father just splitting the rock? Making room for you? Can you see him splitting the veil and opening wide up and saying, none of my kids are going to stay outside. And him saying, come here. And him showing that there is a way, that there is forgiveness for sin. And in this moment, I would say, maybe you just take a time, a private time right now with the Lord. And just saying, God, forgive me. Because I tell you, one of the things that comes out of abiding is this, is the absolute beautiful gift of repentance. I spent some time in that gift this week. Not for one second did I feel condemned. Did I feel depressed? Did I feel shamed or guilted? But I walked in receiving that beautiful gift of repentance. I said, Lord, forgive me. Can I encourage you today just to take a second right now? Even I don't want to wait on this for later. And just say, Lord, I receive that beautiful gift of repentance. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord, in ways in which that I need to walk in that repentance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now all of us, we just, in our hearts or in our hearts' minds, however you want to say this, but Lord, I step closer to you. Come on, do it prophetically. I step closer to you, Lord. Show me your glory, Lord. I want to be drawn into the fullness of your presence. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, because that picture is one that is so rich. But Moses is in the tent and the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit of God is there. But he still says, I need more. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. But there is more. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We may have beautiful encounters with you all week long as we continue to abide in you. Lord, we thank you for this now. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.